I'll call this to order. We currently do not have a quorum, but I do believe we can go through our presentations and give any feedback that we may have. So we'll move straight into our agenda with our first action item, which is the meeting minutes. We won't approve, but if you have any comments you'd like to make, feel free to do so.
We talk about the April 18th meeting. That's what the minutes are for.
Yes, we are reviewing the April 18th meeting minutes.
And that's a special meeting. Was it a special meeting?
Yeah, so the first one is April 18th meeting minutes. That was a regular meeting. And then we have a special call meeting.
Okay. The minutes are for the call meeting.
It should say it at the very top of on the front page of your sheet, which one it is.
Okay, the 18th meeting. I see that. It tells what meeting it is. But I don't see a minutes for it, is what I'm saying. I didn't see the minutes, is what I'm saying, for the meeting. I see one for a special call meeting.
Okay, I get what you mean.
But I don't see anything for the 18th meeting.
I can pull them up on the screen if you need them. Yeah.
Because I had a question or two about the 18th special call meeting, because it seemed like I gathered there were about three or four people present. Two people were actually present at that meeting. They made a lot of decisions, including changing the dating time. That's a lot of decisions for two people to make.
The special called meeting is a combined meeting between CEC and ACAT. They're not making decisions. They're making suggestions for the bylaws update. So the special called meeting can only deal with the agenda item that has been specified. And when we set up that meeting, we already told the people that it's for bylaws update. So they review the bylaw. We review the bylaws line by line, and they're making comments and edits, suggestions, and they're not making decisions.
So we will be meeting then on Monday, the third Monday in August then at 1 o'clock. Because that was one of the suggestions apparently was approved.
That was the suggestion. And then after that, we decided, they recommended that we do a poll, do the poll. So we did do the poll, and the majority of people, seems like they, that like at least the quarterly meetings. And then also the majority of the people wanted to have the meeting in the daytime. Yeah, at one.
I would have opposed that because if I'd been told there would be a meeting, special call meeting, and also it was proposed, but I didn't get any word on that at all. I didn't hear about the meetings, what I'm saying.
You were not invited to the special called meeting?
I didn't remember getting one invitation. Call me for that meeting?
So the survey is still open in terms of giving your input on what time and like meeting schedule you think is the best. So we can send you the survey, or, you know, you can state right now also.
Right now for the record that I am opposed to the 1 o'clock meeting on Mondays, the third Monday of each month. I understand that the board meets Wednesday following Wednesday. I got all that. I read it carefully. I'm still against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're taking everyone's input into consideration.
It was good for some people who were regularly coming. Abbott's not here now, but he normally came. It was good for him. And years it was good for us to do it. I don't know why 1 o'clock on a Monday, third Monday, whatever, is especially important. Some people, someone said that he had a job and he had to tell his employer about it before he had, I didn't know he was absent, late for work. Because of the meeting at 1 o'clock. That someone had meeting after hours, so no one has to be late for work.
We did, in the doodle poll, we do have three options. One is the fourth Monday at one. Another one is like third Thursday, the third Thursday, just like the, we recommend, and then we decided if you want to propose another time and do so. But it seems like the majority wants to do like the first Monday at 1.
But the majority.
Majority who did the poll. How many members? Yeah, we got 7 people participated in the poll.
And your preference would be to have it
just like around.
Like today at 5:30?
Correct.
And we can make sure to have that logged into the overall poll results.
Yeah.
Going forward.
I gotta get the poll result.
And like you said, that poll is still open. So we do have the opportunity for things to shift a little bit more.
Nothing is finalized yet. So the meeting time and date is not finalized yet. So we want to use the poll results to help us decide which date and time is good. So you can enter your input in the poll.
Let the minutes of this meeting to reflect that. That it was brought up as also the issue was raised, okay?
What is it?
The issue was raised that
Okay, yeah. We will document in the minutes that you against that Monday 1 o'clock. Yeah, the minutes will reflect that. Yes.
Thank you. If no other comment on the meeting minutes, we'll move along to agenda item number 2, which is the FY 2024 FY 2027 TIP amendments, June 2024.
Okay, I will be giving that report. So we received TIP amendment requests in April and May from Chatham Area Transit and the Georgia Department of Transportation. So we advertised for a public participation process and a public comment period starting on June 12th and ending on June 26th. So far, we have not received comment on these TIP amendments. In terms of the TIP amendments, we received 6 this time, so it's a good bit of TIP amendments, 4 being from Chatham Area Transit and 2 being from GDOT. So into the details of the TIP amendments, from Chatham Area Transit, they had a dock rehab TIP amendment, and so they requested that flex funds and local funds be added to fiscal year 2025, the federal portion of that being over $300,000 and the local portion of that being over $90,000. And that will be to the construction phase of fiscal year 2025. Chatham Area Transit also submitted a TIP amendment request for a ferry replacement, and that will involve the addition of multiple different federal funds, and then also the addition of a local federal match, so an additional local federal match to that. And the total cost of that project is estimated to be $6 million. And again, this funding update will be in the construction phase of fiscal year 2025. Chatham Area Transit also had TIP amendment requests for the Section 5307 funding change for preventative maintenance. And in that, the federal cost for preventative maintenance in fiscal year 2024, that should actually be fiscal year 2025. So we'll make note to update that. So in fiscal year 2025, will be amended from $1,200,000 to $1,800,000, and then that local portion will be increased from $240,000 to $450,000, and then you can see that here. Chatham Area Transit also did a funding change TIP amendment request for operating assistance, and in that they amended the local cost in fiscal year 2025. So this should say 2025 here for the record. So they are amending that from $0 to almost $3 million. For the GDOT projects, we have SR-404 SPUR/US-17. For this project, there are multiple amendments in the right-of-way phase. we are amending, or they requested to amend Y-800 funds into fiscal year 2025, the federal portion of that being $400,000, and the state portion of that being $100,000. And then in fiscal year 2026, they requested Y-800 funds be added to the construction phase, with the federal portion being $1.6 million and the state portion being $400,000. And the last TIF amendment is the SR26/US80 at Lazaretto Creek. Federal government is seeking to amend new funds into fiscal year 2028, specifically Y-800 funds, the federal portion being over $16 million and the state portion being over $4 million. In the construction phase, and then in a right-of-way phase, they are seeking to amend Y-240 funds in fiscal year 2026, with the federal portion being $16,000 and the state portion being $4,000, and then a local match of $120,000, or local funds being $120,000. So just going through the table updates, so this is the original table in the TIP. For the ferry and transit projects, and this is what they've been updated to. They're a bit different than usual TIP tables, so because they're transit projects, so that's why they look different. And then we also see that here, reflected here, updated tables for ferry vessel construction and that increased total price. And then also for the Section 5307 funding table, this is the original, and this is the updated, so fiscal year 2025. Has the increased funds as shown here. And then the total price is also increased. And then for GDOT's projects, here are the original project pages, and then the new project pages with the new funds added and a new total. And then same for Lazaretto Creek, the original page and original funding, and then the new and updated with increased changes in pricing and then also changes in total price, I believe. Okay, and then this is just the public involvement materials. MTP TIP consistency check, these are all consistent with the 2045 MTP. And this is just correspondence on those amendments. And then this is just double checking to see the projects in fiscal year 2024 to make sure that their funds are approved, or making sure they get moved out of fiscal year 2024 so they don't lose those funds. At the previous TCC meeting, we noted that Green Island Road Trail, that we got an update on the project status, and it's good to go. So there's no trouble with this project. And then the Ivy and Linwood sidewalks, this project was canceled, so we don't have to worry about that one either. And then this is the last page, just a resolution that will be signed on June 26th. And that is it for this TIP amendment.
Any questions for staff?
And this is just information because we have no quorum to do any action on this. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Moving to item number 3, approval of the draft financially constrained 2050 MTP project list.
Okay, we have been developing the 2050 MTP for more than 2 years, started survey back in September 2 years ago. Actually 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, we kicked off. And now we are at the final stages. So we're in the financial plan development. I talked to you about the revenue projections that we have at the last meeting. So after that, we did have a little bit adjustment because of the several projects, the grant, basically the grant, the 4 grant projects that we have. So I'll just list those over here. Those are the I-16 extra ramp removal, that Savannah's got about $2.25 million. And then, Voltaire Electrification of American Port. One company got some money for electric charging project. And then Port of Savannah, Georgia Ports Authority also got $7.5 million. for an electric charging project. And then GDOT has a NEVI program. And so they're going to build a charging station between on I-16 between Chatham Parkway and Gwinnett Street. So the revenue, last time I talked to you about, didn't include the last three projects. So the revenue now include these three projects, but those revenue come with the project. So you cannot spend the revenue anywhere else, but on these projects. So these are the updated revenue projection for those. So you can see the cost spent one, the total for project is about $545 million, and cost spent two, $551 million, and the cost spent three, $658. But some of these projects revenues will be allocated to set aside projects. So those include operational improvements like signal coordination, intersection improvements, roundabouts, for example. And then another set aside is non-motorized, non-motorized bike path projects. For the first 3 years, we're using TIP as the basis. The later years, we're assuming 3% for the modal share and the transit set aside. That's the third one, the transit set aside. So that will be, we use the electric bus, the cost for electric bus as the basis. And then the rest of the revenues will be allocated to specific projects. So after you subtract the set asides, the cost spent one project is $424 million. And then cost spent two is $456 million. And then cost spent three is $548 million. But some of the cost spent one revenue will be allocated to pipeline projects, the projects already in the TIP, or those projects already have grant money. So revenues for additional projects are very, very limited, as you can see from this table. This is the financially constrained table. This is a very, very preliminary draft. We presented to PCC this afternoon for comments, and then we have received some comments like the TCC decided they probably want to, we don't want to pursue like I-95 widening for now, but we want to add the President Street project, and we also want to add in the Old River Road project, and then get rid of the Gulf Stream Road as well. So this is basically tell you what project, specific project will be included in this preliminary draft of the physically constrained plan. So you have the US 17 Back River Bridge, and then the widening associated widening project. And also you have the I-95 ITS project. These projects are already in the TIP. And then you have Bull River Bridge and Lestrada Creek Bridge replacements, and the I-16 at Little Necker Road, that is in the change project, and the three Effingham County projects, Stillwell Road at Ebenezer Bridge is a bridge replacement, and then Long Bridge at Ebenezer, and that is also a bridge replacement, and there's a bridge rehab that's at I-95 at Savannah River. And you also have in the middle of the city, you have Project Durain. There are three Project Durain projects. One is the Project Durain Boulevard option. So you're going to build the fly from Montgomery Street and all the way to White Bluff Road. And you also have West Durain project improvements between Mildred and Abercorn, and then East Durain improvements from Abercorn to Truman Parkway. And then we also added in through the 2045 MTP amendment, we added in the US 17 Savannah River, the crossing, but that is only, right of way, $500,000. And we also have I-95 at Aries Avenue. These projects, all of these projects were, in the pipeline, basically. And then you have those four projects that I just mentioned, that just came with grant funds. I-16 exit ramp removal, and Voltor electrification of American ports, that one, and then Port of Savannah renewable fuel project, and then I-16 from West Gwinnett Street to Chatham Parkway, that's the new charging station. And then the additional projects that we have identified, we follow the prioritization. Actually, TCC had a special court meeting on May the 15th and review the scores. And we talked to you about needs-based scoring, resilience-based scoring, and then equity-based scoring. So basically we follow the order. So this is in the descending order. So the top one actually have a score of 141 and the second one is like 135. So we try to plug in this project and then do the cost estimating and insert the costs. So currently this is the project. And by the time that I have reached I-95 interchange reconstruction at State Route 21, I ran out of revenue. So basically, so the additional projects I identified as in the preliminary list is State Route 21 widening. One is from 30 to McCall Road. And then the next segment is from McCall Road to Rincon. And then, Fort Argyle Road widening from I-95 to Old River Road and US 80 widening in Effingham County and Gulf Stream Road widening. It was pretty high in the ranking, but Savannah Airport Commission, they decide they don't want to support this project because the original project came from Savannah Airport Commission. They wanted it, but now they don't want it. So we can remove this project in this list. So that will release some of the revenues for use by other project. And then we have three projects that are consistent with the 2045 plan. That is I-516 Lyons Parkway widening and I-516 Lyons Parkway at I-60 interchange reconstruction. And then another segment of the I-516 widening project. And then in the preliminary list that I'm showing over here, it has I-95 widening and auxiliary lane. But TCC decided that we don't want to pursue this because even if you can widen I-95, but as soon as you reach South Carolina, you still have the choke points. So now we have six lanes. When you reach South Carolina, you have four lanes. If we widen, it still will be four lanes. So we decided not to pursue this project. That will release some of the revenues by use for use by other projects as well. And then we also have State Route 307 grade separation at State Route 21. And then I-95 interchange reconstruction at State Route 21, Augusta Road. But like I said, Gulf Stream will go out, President Street will go in, and Old River Road will go in, and the I-95 will go in. I will see what the balance looks like after I make these adjustments. So we might be able to accommodate one or two projects. And then you can just to see the set aside. So operational improvements, this time we were pretty generous. So we assumed 12% of the project revenue. So we have, about $69 million in cost band one and then, $66 million in cost band two and almost $80 million in cost band three. So those would be, if Chatham County or City of Savannah, whoever the project sponsor wants to pursue, and operational improvements like intersection improvements. And when we do call for permits, they can apply for these. And those will be considered consistent. Transit improvements, I already talked to you about. And then the bike path projects set aside. We already have three specific projects, Chavers Road, Garrard Avenue, and Green Island Trail, already identified in the TIP, but the set aside will be later years. So 2028 to 2036, and you also have set aside for cost band two and cost band three. And then you have maintenance. So currently we try to keep a little bit balance for each cost band, just in case when we go to the public for the 30-day public comment period on July 1st, we might have a feedback from the public. They probably want like, certain projects to be inserted or something. So we want to keep some of those money for the contingency projects, basically. So we just present to you so that you can, if you want to review the information and it's attached to the agenda, so just let us know what you think. Does the project make any sense? The project doesn't make any sense. If you want to suggest some other projects, just let us know.
Was there any reason, any specific reason why the Airport Commission decided to no longer support the one widening?
They didn't tell us that. Yeah. Actually, I think they left me a message, but I haven't called back yet because I was dealing with all. Yeah. But I might just call them and ask them what is the reasoning.
Any other questions or comment? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
We can move to item number, Yes, item number four.
Okay.
Bylaws update.
Okay, the bylaws update. If you review the May, if you review the minutes we just talked about, that one actually have the recommendations or suggested changes from the combined CEC and ACAT committee. So this bylaws, that what we have over here is based off that. So basically what we want to do is both CEC and ACAT struggle with quorums. So we want to have a consolidated committee, but the voting members will be restricted to those people who regularly participate, like you will be carried forward to that committee. So like we actually identified each like staff representative from Chatham Air Transit, we identify who is like Tia Baker, transportation planner, that's Asia, economic opportunity, Savannah, so that's Tara Colbert, resident service coordinator, housing, Brenda Poland, life, the Shannon Jing, and the National Federation of the Blind, so Tyrone Palmer, and Savannah Center for Blind, so that's Paula, and then senior citizens, and that's Patty, and the interested citizens. I listed interested citizens six over here. So we were thinking Dr. Brantley over there, Amont, and Ariel, Robert, who has been participating. Who else did we think? Yeah, Tony Ever. So we got five regularly participating ACAD members. All will be carried forward, but we want to leave six. So just in case we have another interested citizen. So we want to have the total to be number 15. And we were checking on the SCOTY. Well, what is the result on the checking?
We haven't gotten a contact with
Dawson. Okay. So we were trying to decide on the SCOTY situation. If they have previously the ACAD chairman, Pamela Oglesby, regularly attends, but now since nobody's attending, we will move. I mean, whoever is regularly attends will stay as a voting member. And those people not regularly attending will be advisory, non-voting advisory member. So just in case that we need to like reach out to like deaf community and we can still reach out to them because they are already on our advisory role. So that was the suggestion. We would divide this up to voting and non-voting. So we know those people who regularly participate will make a quorum. So we have at least those people, those regularly participating CEC and ACAD members combined should make a quorum. And then we also went over the duties and the responsibilities of what this new committee does. So basically you will be public involvement. You still have your CEC's functions, public involvement, and you also direct us for the participation plan and also combine the duties for ACAT, and that is ADA accessible transportation. But we also expanded the duties and responsibilities for this committee to include transportation equity. So it is an umbrella and it's more broad. So you will address that. Maybe like Healthy Savannah will be a part of that as well. So we went over that and then we went over the officers and organizations. So we still have a chairman and a vice chairman, and the vice chair and the chair will be elected at the last meeting of the committee. So basically at the last calendar year meeting. But what we were thinking in August, when we have this meeting for the new committee, we're going to do an election. But this new chair and vice chair will last until the end of next year. So we're not going to do an election in December. So you're going to preside this year's meeting and the next year's meeting until an election is held next December. So we went over the officers and organizations. And then we also went over the duties of the officers, basically preside over the meetings, and then the coordinating staff, which is the MPO staff. We send the notifications and setting up agendas. This is where I document. You can see we see the doodle poll for meeting frequency and time. So that's why we sent out, do you want to do quarterly meetings? What do you want to do? Bi-monthly meetings, and do you prefer fourth Monday or third Thursday, or if you propose a new time. So that's why we're doing the poll, because this is just a suggestion. They are not making decisions. They were making suggestions. So we would just act on the suggestion. So those about the meetings. And then also, we make sure that the quorum is 1/3 of all members plus one. So basically 6 is a quorum. Cause if you have 15 members, and so 1/3, that's 5 and plus 1, 6. So 6 is a quorum. And no action items, can be acted upon. I mean, you can do the presentation, but no action. You cannot make any actions. You cannot take any actions. So that's outlined in this as well. So we just went through all of this and tried to get input. And then there was also a suggestion about amending the bylaws. So, if there's a grammatical error, the staff can just make the corrections without having going through the amendment process. So that was another suggestion, which, I mean, all of that is documented in the minutes, the June special, meeting minutes. So basically that's what we had. Since we don't have quorum, so you cannot approve these bylaws, but the MPO board will have the final say, on the bylaws. And then if the MPO adopts the bylaws and then at the next meeting, we start the new committee, you see any changes that need to be made, and we can still make amendments to the bylaws. So these bylaws can be amended anytime. Okay. Any questions?
I'm sorry. I was trying to skim through. Do we have anything in here, that talks about whether you need to be in person or virtual?
Yeah.
Or...
Yes. We did. We did.
What number is that?
We did that at language. Okay. I think it's in the quorum portion of it. Okay. No action items can be voted on by the new committee unless quorum of the membership is present. Since TPAC, okay, see this number 3. Since the TPAC meeting, a hybrid, in person and a virtual, if a voting member attends virtually, he or she will still be counted towards the quorum.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is because a lot of the ACAT members are visually impaired or in the wheelchair. So sometimes it's very hard for them to make arrangements for transportation. And since they have been regularly attending virtually, so this is the committee that we decided we can do the hybrid.
Thank you.
To help those people out.
Any questions or comment?
So are we going to
Yeah, but we will still have to decide on the date and time. Yeah.
When do we do that then? If we can't get a quorum to date approve this, how do we do that?
Well, I think because you can only approve your portion of the bylaws, but the quorum pool board has the approval authority for all of these committees. Yeah, so I think what we can do is probably if the quorum view board decides to approve the minutes in June, but then when we meet in August, we want to review the bylaws, and if you want to make any changes, we can initiate amendments.
If, because we don't have a quorum here, it goes in this month in June to the board. The board approves it after we meet in August. How can we then change that, because
the bylaws can be amended anytime. The bylaws is unlike the MOU or the boundary. The bylaws can be amended anytime. So if you want to start, if you see something that is not right, you want to, because we don't have a quorum, so we cannot act on it. But the MPO board will approve it, approve the bylaws. But later you find out that you want to change, like for example, you want to change the language on the hybrid or something. So we can initiate amendments anytime. Yes.
Let me say it now clearly, so I understood clearly. I won't be coming at 1:00. Period. I have obligations. Someone said that they had obligations in the, I read that. They needed to tell an employer that's what, no, be late for work. Well, I too have responsibilities. My responsibility doesn't allow me to be free doing.
I understand. Yeah.
Evenings like this is fine for me. That's why I came. That's why I come.
Mm-hmm.
One of your standing members, one of your regular persons, may not be in the future at your August meeting and other meetings because he's not protesting. He's not, you know, thumbing his nose at you. He simply has other obligations
mm-hmm.
that some people have.
Yes.
So the person said, I have to, we won't do it at 1 o'clock because it's convenient for us. Something is not convenient for them at 1 o'clock. I want you to understand that.
Okay.
No protest. It's simply how it is. Someone said, I want to do it convenient for me. I had to work convenient for shoes there. Come at one.
Yeah, since our meetings are hybrid, so you have the virtual option, we might be more flexible. So if we finally decided on the date and time. No. What I mean is, if we decide on still like this time frame, those people participating virtually, they can do it at home. So they have that flexibility. Right now it's like the majority want to do the fourth Monday, but it's not fine. We haven't decided on that yet. That's the polling results.
What will you start then?
Huh?
It is June. We see board will meet in June, right? And we're deciding this issue, you say, because we have no quorum today to decide it.
No, that's just the polling results. We can use the polling results to make a decision. Like I said, the next meeting hasn't been set yet. So maybe some of the ACAD members can participate virtually even at this time frame. So that's what I'm saying. So right now, what we are showing you, that's just the polling results, but we haven't made a decision yet.
All right. If no other comments, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We can move to status reports. Item number 5, the non-motorized transportation plan update.
Hey, this will be quick. Okay, so the non-motorized transportation plan is our local bike and pedestrian plan, specifically for the core MPO planning area. And the goal of this plan is to update, the goal of this plan update is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So on to the update, because the MPO is focused on completing the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, the non-motorized transportation plan will not be adopted in June 2024 as originally planned, and instead will be adopted at a later date. So we will begin to refocus on the non-motorized transportation plan after the adoption of 2050 MTP update in August. And so this is because the 2050 MTP is a required MPO document, so it takes precedence over the non-motorized transportation plan, which is not a required MPO document. And so that's the end of the status update.
Any questions?
No question.
Thank you. Okay. We can move to item number 6, congestion management process update.
We presented to you about the congestion management process several times so far. Genesis was working on this, and then we submitted draft 3 to Federal Highway Administration, and then we received a lot of comments. And so this final version over here addressed all of the Federal Highway Administration comments. So basically the CMP identified where the congestion locations are and then identified what specific strategies that we can have to mitigate those congestion areas, congestion problems. So this is a big document over here, and it's attached for your review, and this congestion management process recommendations fit into the 2050 MTP. Remember, when we do the project selection, congestion CMP was one of those criteria category for project selection. So this is a very, very technical document, and if you're interested, and you can just read through. When we do the 2050 MTP, we make sure that projects also come from this planning process.
Any questions or comment? Thank you. We can move to item number 7, federal certification review.
Okay. Federal certification review, we go through core MPO as a transportation management area, which is the MPO with a population more than 200,000. We go through the federal certification review every 4 years, and then it is very important for the core MPO to be certified. Otherwise, we are not going to receive any federal dollars. Yeah. So basically, Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and GDOT, they will review our documents, long-range plan, TIP, UPWP, participation plan, that is 6 plan, and our planning process as well, bike path, congestion management, freight plan. And then they review all of that and the transit planning efforts. Probably we need the coordination with CAT as well. And then they schedule 2 days to be here. And then so we have a face-to-face meetings and they ask us questions. And then we answer the questions and provide the documents that is required. This year, we actually will get certified. Our deadline for certification is March 31st, 2025. But they want to start the kickoff the certification review now. And then they will do the site visit. The tentative date for site visit, like I highlighted over here, is October 29th to 30th. At first, they scheduled August, and then we decided no way. So we want to, because we have to finalize the 2050 MTP after we adopt those, and then translate the exact summary into the different languages. So we wouldn't be ready in August. So we told them the earliest time we can do is October. So they tentatively schedule the site visit for October 29th and 30th, and then we will also probably have a public meeting on the 29th. So we will invite our members, all of the advisory committee members to come to the meeting, just to say, what do you think about the MPO's planning process? Are you satisfied or are you not satisfied? So just let them know, just to be honest. I mean, you don't have to like sing high praises for us. Just to be honest. Yeah. If you say that we're missing in this and we're good at that or something. So just tell the feds, how we are doing. So hopefully we wouldn't get any corrective actions. So we might have the strengths and weaknesses. So they might give us recommendations, but I don't foresee any corrective actions. So I think we should be fine. So they asked us to, Federal Highway Administration asked us to put this on the agenda until we are certified. So we will just give you a progress report. So next time we would know, because we have a quarterly meeting, coordination meeting with them scheduled as well. So we will let you know.
Any questions for staff? Thank you. That is our last status report. The notices are listed if you want to review on your own. This is our last CAC meeting, our last new TEPAIC meeting is soon to be scheduled.
Yeah.
And we will get notice on that once it is.
Yeah.
So thank you all. I will adjourn.